All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I am giving you my rapid reaction to the Falcons' 37-36 loss to the Cincinnati Bengals in Week 4.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So the Falcons move to 1-3 record after a very disappointing, disheartening loss to the Bengals, basically on the final drive. The Falcons did get an opportunity to basically try to win it in the end on in a few seconds, but could not do so. And another good offensive performance, another poor defensive performance. We will talk about those things. Let's jump into the positive aspect of the game. The Falcons offense, a good overall performance. As I said, obviously, when you see the 36-point output, there was the possibility for more points for the Falcons offense. That 36-point output was great, but not quite good enough. You look at the Falcons offensive numbers, 495 total yards, 11 of 15 on third downs, converting 73% of those third down tries, 3 of 5 in the red zone, 7.5 yards per play, 0 turnovers. Practically a perfect performance for the Falcons offense, but that practically perfect is sort of what set them back. The turnover on downs in the second series, settling for a field goal after the block punt to start the third quarter, then another field goal on the penultimate drive. You turn one of those last two red zone opportunities into touchdowns, or you convert that fourth down on that fourth and five and get points on that drive, and you have a potentially very different outcome with the Falcons coming out with the win. Speaking of that fourth down attempt, I have no problem with the Falcons being aggressive and Dan Quinn being aggressive in that situation. Given where they were, punting the ball didn't necessarily have a huge, huge benefit being on your opponent's inside, in your opponent's territory. And given the lack of trust that I think deservedly that the defense has not earned, I think trying to get as many points as possible was the right decision on Dan Quinn's part. They didn't execute. Now, saying all this about the offense not being perfect, don't get it twisted. Don't anybody say, oh, Aaron's blaming the offense. That's not what I'm doing at all. I'm basically pointing out that the offense had to be literally perfect in order to overcome how poor this defense performed. And basically only having three failures all game long, you know, if they quote unquote only had two, they would have won this game. And I think, you know, overall that speaks to sort of the really strong play of the Falcons offense. Another great performance from Matt Ryan, who I've sort of glossed over these last couple of games, who's been playing great. And a large part of that is due to the fact that now 10 years into Matt Ryan's career, I don't feel like it's necessary to point out that he's good and does his job most weeks. You know, we point out the games that he does not perform well in, but those are few and far between, and the rest of the time he's fine. And most of the time he's really good. In these last couple of games, he's been really good. His number is 29 of 39 today for 419 yards, 3 touchdowns, a passer rating of 134.5 today. If you combine his last 3 performances, his overall passer rating is 145. Perfect passer rating, by the way, is 158. So he's inching up there towards perfection. Again, practically perfect. The only real knock on Matt Ryan today was he almost had a pick six late in the game and then probably took a sack or two that he probably didn't need to. But again, those are slight blemishes. Those are small nitpicks. Any other team would kill to have the quality of play that the Falcons have experienced under Matt Ryan today against the Bengals or the last 2 weeks against the Saints and the Carolina Panthers. And the Falcons should have won all three games in that instance, but have lost, you know, two of those games in the closing seconds, largely due to the fact that the defense couldn't get a stop. You know, and that sort of speaks to sort of what we're talking about is the last 3 weeks, you know, Matt Ryan has that 145 passer rating, but the defense is giving up a combined passer rating, including what Dalton did today, of like 113, if my numbers are correct. And, you know, for those of you guys that don't know, the one stat that corresponds the most with winning in the NFL is passer rating differential. Obviously, you want to have a good passer rating. You want your defense to limit the other team from having a good passer rating. And even though the Falcons are outperforming, they're getting the better quality quarterback play because that defensive passer rating is so high. and it's so close to what Matt Ryan is doing instead of like the 90 or 85 that you would want from a competent to even below average defensive performance in terms of passer rating, you're seeing the last 2 weeks of results and whatnot. So we'll get to the defense a little bit later. I do want to finish talking about the offense. Other standouts in offense, I thought Ito Smith played well. He got more involved this week with 7 carries and a couple of catches than he was last week. I thought Coleman was okay. He was solid, not spectacular. I think the Falcons struggled with losing a little bit of their balance in the second half. They had 25 passes to 17 runs in the first half, which is running the football about 40% of the time. In the second half, they had 7 runs to 17 passes, which is running less than 30% of the time. And besides that balance, what also should stand out to you is only having 24 plays on 4.5 possessions in the second half. And they sort of lost the time of possession battle. And I do think getting Devontae Freeman back next week should help in that regard. I still don't quite understand Falcon fans that somehow think that not having Devontae Freeman in the lineup is advantageous for this Falcon offense and team. Even if you think Tevin Coleman is better, why wouldn't you want to have both of those guys? It makes no sense to me. And now that Ito Smith is showing that he's an asset, why not have all three of those guys in the offense? My hope is that the Falcons in upcoming games can be a little bit more balanced and be a little bit more ball control, maybe utilize that play action to help hide this defense a little bit better than what they were able to do today. I thought they tried their best in the first half. It didn't really work. They sort of became a little bit too pass heavy in the second half and just couldn't sustain. And maybe had they been able to sustain a couple more drives, they would have been able to prevent the defense from blowing it in the end. Again, nobody take this as me blaming the offense, but other sort of standouts, Ridley played well, Julio played well, Sanu played well. Sanu made a couple of big plays. He shredded his former team. Ridley had 2 touchdowns, got another one on double move. Julio led the team with 173 yards receiving. They did a good job spreading the ball around. Relatively quiet game for Hooper, but he did have a big catch at the end of the game, his only catch of the day. Paulson had a nice 17-yard touchdown. I thought the pass protection was okay. They had 8 hits allowed, 3 sacks allowed. It could have been worse given this Bengals rush. Geno Atkins seemed to give Fusco a lot of fits early in the game. Carl Lawson beat Jake Matthews late, and I thought prior to that, Jake played held up reasonably well. The only real criticism I have of Sark today is, you know, going with the 5-man protections under 5 minutes in the fourth quarter. That's got to, you got to scrap that out of the playbook, my man. We've seen that now multiple games this season. It seems like in the fourth quarter, when teams are able to pin their ears back and get after Matt Ryan, this offensive line has not done a good job holding up in these 5-man protections. So keeping a running back inside, whether that's Coleman, whether that's Smith, whether that's Freeman, or even a tight end or whatever, to have a 6-man protection, I think, makes the most sense for the Falcons moving forward. That's when Jake gave up his sack to Lawson, and that really hurt them towards the end. Now, again, I want to be clear here. I'm not blaming the offense. If I'm being critical of the offense, it's not the same thing as blaming them. The point is I think there's still some untapped potential with this offense, and I think, you know, given the state of this defense, they might need this offense to be even better than what it has been, and I think there's still room for improvement. I think the running football could be better. I think the offensive line could play better with the pass protection, and primarily it is the offensive line that I think needs to step up their game a little bit more, and if they do, then I think this offense, instead of scoring 36 and 37 points, maybe that's 42 and 45 points, and maybe that's the difference between winning and losing. But we'll talk about the real difference between winning and losing in the defense in just a moment. But I want to let you guys know that Locked On NFL is becoming everyone's favorite daily national NFL podcast. Each week you have a number of great guests joining host Matt Williamson to discuss all things NFL on Mondays. It's the local experts on the biggest stories of the week. On Tuesdays, you have former NFL quarterback Sage Rosenfels. Wednesdays, Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus joins the show. Thursday is the great Mike Sando of ESPN. And Friday, make sure you get all of Matt's picks of the week. That's Locked On NFL Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Now, if you listen to this podcast, you know I have a lot of the answers, but I don't have all the answers on everything, particularly when it comes to who's going to win the games, especially Falcons games. But if you guys think you know the answers, by all means, you got to check out my bookie. remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. And that's why I always tell people to go to MyBookie. Trust me, they're the best bet you're going to make this season because they've been in business for years. They have great reviews online and their mobile site is very easy to use. They also have in-game live betting over and under on fantasy points scored and the most rewarding player perks in the business. MyBookie is slammed with new bettors and wants to help you guys out by giving you an extra $25 free play if you deposit $100 or more after 7 p.m. Eastern. Use the promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate that offer. Visit MyBookie today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON25 to get an extra $25 after you deposit after 7 p.m. It's up to you, but I'd wait till after dinner and take that extra money. You play, you win, you get paid. Okay, let's talk about the defense. Obviously not a good performance. They were getting gashed left and right in the first half. They gave up a ton of big plays. I thought things got better in the second half. I can't help but notice that's also the point in the game where the pass rush started to assert itself on the outcome of games. I looked at the first half stats. They gave up 9.9 yards per play in the first half, but only 4.0 in the second half. And for those of you guys that don't know, 6.0 is really good in terms of yards per play. Anything below 5 is bad, at least for offenses. So giving up only 4 is good for a defense, and 9.9 is ridiculously bad for a defense. Tack had 3 sacks, and also those 3 sacks were 3 of the team's 4 hits on the quarterback, which again, I don't think is good enough, especially when you compare to what the Bengals were able to do, what other teams have been able to do, getting at Matt Ryan 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 times this season. We continue to be under 5, under 6. That number is just not good enough. They should have had a 5th hit, however, with a Beasley sack strip, but that was ruled an incomplete pass, although that should have been the tuck rule and the application and how the tuck rule doesn't exist and all those sorts of things. Those are fumbles now. Whatever. I don't know the rule books. I don't agree with that call, but it's whatever. The refs are always missing stuff nowadays. But going back to Tack's sack, all 3 of his sacks killed drives and got stops for this defense. They used Tack mainly against Bengals right tackle Bobby Hart, and he worked him over in the second half of this game. I thought that was a smart call, and I hope we continue to see the Falcons basically look at the opposing team's weakest link and say, okay, Tack, you're going to line up primarily on this side of the field, and we're going to try to get strength on weakness as opposed to holding out hope that Vic Beasley's going to, you know, return and revert back to his old self. I thought the run D was subpar. They weren't really effective at slowing down Gio Bernard on the handful of occasions he got the ball. The coverage was certainly subpar. I thought AJ Green worked over Alford early in the game. I thought Alford was a little bit better in the second half, but it wasn't as if he was locking him down or by any means. They asked Alford to shadow Green for most of the game, except they didn't on the final play, which was a little baffling. The Falcons decided to go cover 2 zone on that play, and Oliver didn't get enough depth, and Green was open for the touchdown. That was the nail in the coffin. It looked like the second touchdown that Oliver gave up today. From my perspective, the John Ross touchdown earlier in the game, it looked like Alford, they were playing cover 3 and Alford bailed on his deep responsibilities. I don't think Alford would have made the play just given the fact that Ross runs a 4-2 and can, you know, there was no way he was going to catch him, but I think he still is responsible for bailing on his responsibilities there. So definitely not a great performance from Isaiah Oliver, who got a lot of work working outside with Alford basically following Green around. You also saw Trufant spent a ton of time in the slot going up against Tyler Boyd. That didn't go over particularly well. Boyd had 11 catches for 100 yards, had some big grabs on the final drive. Trufant had an opportunity to seal this win by getting an interception on the 3rd down breakup, but of course he didn't because, you know, Trufant will drop every interception that comes his way. And then he got beat on the 4th down, and then ensuing 4th down on a pivot route, and that continued the Bengals' drive. The Bengals converted 2 4th downs on that final drive. I didn't see much of Grady Jarrett or Tack McKinley on that final series. I know Jarrett injured his knee earlier in the game due to some friendly fire from Dirty DeMonte. I don't know what happened with Tack. Maybe he aggravated his issue, but I saw a lot of Reed out there on the field in those situations, and I imagine if Tack was ready to go, he would have been out there opposite Vic as opposed to Brooks Reed. Speaking of Vic, I've been very critical of Vic. He had his best game since 2016 today, but it still was a little underwhelming in my mind. But relative to other players, you know, hey, applaud you, Vic Beasley. You were better. So maybe this is the start of something better for him. Duke Riley was okay, solid. You know, that's a positive. He's been competent the last two games. So that doesn't seem like, hopefully, you know, famous last words, but hopefully that's not going to be a, you know, a relative non-issue moving forward. Obviously, injuries have been a major problem for the Falcons. You're missing three out of your top six defenders in Allen, Neal, and Jones. Then of the other top three guys, Alfred, Trufant, and Jarrett, those top two cornerbacks didn't really play up to their usual standards today, and I don't think they did last week either. You also had Jarrett missing a significant chunk of time in this game due to injury. And so I don't think it's a coincidence that you can make the argument that this was one of the worst defensive performances we've seen from this Falcons defense in a very long time. And so when your top six guys, your six most reliable defensive players aren't playing, or, you know, are not playing up to their usual standards, I think you get the results that you see today. You know, giving up four touchdowns in the first four possessions this week, going back last week, giving up four touchdowns to the Saints on their final four possessions, not counting the kneel down just before overtime. The Falcons, again, were better in the second half. They got stops. They got some pressure on third downs. They got an interception from Casey on a tip pass. But when push came to shove, at the end, this defense let the team down on the final drive. So we'll talk about what all that means in just a moment. As someone who's covered the Falcons team for many years, there's a couple of rules that I have to live by. And one of those things is that it's never as good as you think it are, nor is it as bad as you think it is. And that's why I'm excited to talk about our newest partner, Loci. Maybe you want a little extra game day swag, and now Loci has your back with their new game day bracelet collection. If you haven't heard the name before, well, now you have. This company is amazing. I've never been a big bracelet guy, but this is one that's going to change that, because an amazing message, and Loci also supports incredible causes. The Loci bracelet comes in all 32 teams' colors, including the Falcons. It holds water from Mount Everest, the highest point on Earth, and mud from the Dead Sea, the lowest point. It's a daily reminder to keep that balance in your life between the highs and lows, and the reminder that Falcon fans certainly need to follow now more than ever. This awesome message personally keeps me focused during both the good and bad times in my life, and now it can for you. Since Loci is a friend of the show, they are offering an exclusive discount of 25% off all their Game Day Collection bracelets. Trust me, guys, this is a great deal. Just use the promo code Falcons25 when checking out. Go to loci.com. That's Loki.com. And use the promo code Falcons25 to get $25 off any Game Day Collection bracelet. You guys got to take advantage of this amazing deal. Don't you guys love a night out? Maybe you want to go out there and see your favorite band, head to the theater, or be there in person for the next Falcons home game, cheering on your favorite football team in the crowd. And you can do that now with Vivid Seats. You can attend any concert, show, or sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for all live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for the seats in the section or row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving our listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off of offers of $200 or more to save even money. Go to the App Store or go to Google Play and download that Vivid Seats app and use that promo code LOCKEDON to get that $20 off of your orders of $200 or more for new customers. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Again, download that app, enter that promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off of orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. All right, guys. You know, I'm speeding through this game. I don't know what there's more else to say, like any sort of insightful, in-depth analysis that I'm going to provide you. That if you watched the game, you saw offense played great, defense played poorly. You know, it's pretty much the same thing that we've been seeing. The Falcons are now 1-3. Saw a stat today that says 1-3 teams dating back to, I think, like the 90s or whatever, have a 14% chance of making the playoffs. Now, if they beat Pittsburgh next week and go to 2-3, that percentage moves up to 22%. If they rattle off three straight wins against Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay, and New York, then they'll be up at 47% going into the bye week. So I don't want to, you know, I don't think it's right to panic quite yet. I think this season is still salvageable for the Falcons. I'm certainly not going to give up on this season, but, you know, part of that is due to the fact that it's early enough that I can still be, you know, a little bit naive in terms of my hope and optimism. And as well as the fact that I, you know, have a job to do where I have to do a daily podcast. And if I give up on the season this early, then my God, I feel sorry for you guys listening to what am I going to be talking about in October and whatnot. So, you know, I was ready to give up on the season going into the bye week last year when there was, you know, when they lost to Carolina, they were like, what, 4-4? And then they went 6-2 at that point. You know, obviously, they're in a little bit more dire circumstances right now. But, you know, there's still time. I think if we see the defense that showed up in the second half of this game play like that for four quarters in the coming weeks, then I do think each of these next three games are very, very winnable games. The issue is that their margin for error is so small right now. I do think, you know, looking at the defense, the linebacker play has improved. It's no longer a massive liability. It's not good, but it's not a major liability these last couple of games. The safety play is pretty hit and miss, but I think you expect that with both starters being down. I thought, you know, they used a lot of Brian Poole at strong safety today. That didn't necessarily go over too well. We'll see what the All-22 confirms, but I don't see any reason to not continue that in the foreseeable future because I feel like, you know, everybody's favorite player, Jordan Richards, you know what he's going to give you. I think Poole has some upside there. So I think you also need to hope that you get better play from the cornerbacks than we've seen the last couple of games. Obviously, they have a tough test against Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster next week. I don't think that test is any tougher than, say, A.J. Green and Tyler Boyd. You know, my boy, shout out to Pitt. Tyler Boyd, you know, went out there and did his thing and proved himself to be an effective weapon. But I also think they got to get better play from the front four. I think if those things happen, better cornerback play, the linebacker and safety play can continue to grow in the coming weeks and they get pass rushed, then I think this, you know, the season is far from over. Obviously, the offense still needs to continue to maintain. But again, I think if they could be a little bit more balanced and be a little bit better in the line of scrimmage, I still think this offense is more than capable of improving from what we've seen the last two games. So, again, not ready to give up on the season. Talking about that front, I think right now the main issue is their depth is too thin. You know, you've had Nix, Tack, and Vic and Jarrett the last couple of games where they've missed, you know, snaps, they've missed series, they've missed entire games in Tack's case. We'll have to see what Jarrett's knee injury is like, get an update this week. But, you know, if he misses this Steeler game, that would be a huge, huge blow for the Falcons defense. And because of those Nix and Scriptus, those guys have experienced, they've putting a lot more on Crawford and Reed and McClain and Steven Means these last couple of weeks. And the truth is those guys aren't really getting it done on a consistent basis. And this is something I've said on Twitter in the past, and now I'll say it on this podcast if I haven't already done so. I feel like this D-line rotation is like four or five players away from being good. That fifth player would have been Vic Beasley, but given that, again, Vic Beasley is coming off of one of the better games we've seen of his going all the way back to December of 2016, I will give Vic a pass and say it's only four this week. So hopefully he's just getting warmed up, and we'll see continued improved play from Vic moving forward. But again, going back to those guys, the Crawford, Reeds, etc., I think you can certainly get by with having two of those guys, you know, in your rotation, whoever you deem the two best guys in that rotation are. But I think the rest of the spots you got to upgrade. And that's why a big reason why I'm very much pro midseason trade to try to get one of those upgraded spots to get the ball rolling there. Again, it's not expected that you're going to fix all of those issues, but maybe you can get the ball rolling now as opposed to waiting till the offseason to fix some of those issues. You know, as an aside, you know, I'm glad that Mohamed Sanu fans get a week to gloat. You typically get like three or four of these games from Sanu each year. So you got to take advantage of that gloating whenever you can. I'm kidding, of course. Going back to the defense, that was just a side joke. But I think, you know, part of the reason why I'm not as sort of down or panicking as others might be is part of it, I had lower expectations going into the season for the defense. I thought the defense was kind of overrated going into the season. And again, part of that was even if they were healthy, I still think the pass rush had a lot of questions left to be answered, left a lot of questions going into this year. And, you know, again, this goes back to what I, you know, for those people out there that thought, you know, losing guys like Claiborne and Poe, you know, wouldn't you much rather have Poe and Claiborne rushing than Crawford and Reed in these situations? So, you know, even if they were healthy, I still think I would have questions for the pass rush. They'd just be probably winning games instead, and I'd still be like, well, they're winning games now, but are they going to win in January with this pass rush? That basically, you know, I'm always finding something to complain about. But it goes back to some of the things I was saying in July, but before training camp. I think this defense is good largely due to the fact that their secondary and or their back seven, if you want to throw the linebackers into that group now. And, you know, they get by despite not having a good front because of how good those guys are. And now that you have all the injuries and sort of subpar play from that back seven now, it's not a coincidence, in my opinion, that, you know, you're seeing a big fall off from the Falcons defense this year because their D-line, for lack of a better term, was at best below average going into the season. And now all of a sudden your back seven was, which again, as I argued in the past with their secondary, you know, especially in light of the Ron Parker addition, was one of the best in the league, top three, if not number one in the league. Now all of a sudden you go from number one in the league to, I don't even know, probably like 18th or 22nd in the league with those injuries. If that high, then you see what happens. You know, I think, you know, you see a lot of people saying, oh, they should have signed Eric Reed and they need to make a move for a linebacker. They need to make a move for a safety. You know, I'm sure now after, you know, today's game, you'll have people talking about, oh, they should trade Trufant. They should trade whoever, you know, pick a corner of their choice and blame that guy. But look, I think the back seven is going to be fine. I think, you know, Jones, Allen, and Neal are coming back. Jones later this year, hopefully. The others next year. You got Oliver, Casey, Riley, Olakunu. All these young guys are getting some much needed, you know, on the job development, and they're going to be better for this in the long run. So to me, making trades for a position that is going to go, you know, we just got to be patient, obviously, but it's going to be a strength again at the start of 2019, to me, is silly. Why are you wasting future assets? You know, when you're trading picks, you're trading basically the hope of having, you know, a guy that's going to be on your team for 3-4. And if it's a high pick, yeah, a guy that's going to play 7 to 10 years on you, you're giving up long-term assets for short-term gains at the linebacker and safety position. That makes zero sense to me, guys. If you're going to trade picks or you're going to trade anything, trade for things that you're going to still need next year, like a pass rush, like a front. You know, TAC is going to grow. Jarrett may improve, but, you know, maybe Jarrett has hit his ceiling, but if he has, that's fine with me. He's still really good. You know, we'll see what Vic does. We know Sanat's probably going to improve from here, but the rest of that, like Crawford, Reed, Shelby, McClain, all those guys, if they're not 30 now, are going to be 30 within 6 months. They've all seen better days. So to me, the idea that your defensive line is going to get better, like, what, you know, it's not. It's only going to get worse, you know, essentially due to the age of some of these key backups that you're going to have to play. Like, again, you don't have to rotate defensive backs. You don't have to rotate linebackers. You do have to rotate linemen. So I feel like, as I've said before, if the Falcons are going to make a move before the season is up, it has to be a defensive line. It has to be a defensive line, in my opinion. I think it should be a D-tackle, an interior player at the very least, because I think you need to start that process to reinvigorate talent or youth. I'm not going to be necessarily the person like, oh man, if they don't make this move, they'll make a trade for a D tackle. Dan Quinn needs to be fired again. Dan Quinn's fine. You know, I get people wanting to question Dan Quinn after a 1-3 start because this is unprecedented territory for the Falcons, but it's fine, guys. Like, don't panic. Don't start jumping off a ship and starting wondering whether Dan Quinn should be fired and whatnot. Again, I get it. I know people, a lot of people expected the Falcons to come into the season and be the Super Bowl contender, and the fact that they've now lost three close games now, and, you know, they feel that Dan Quinn should have done more to win those games, and they should be 4-0 or 3-1 at the very least right now. I get that people have those questions, but don't take it too far. This team is struggling. They're going to have to figure it out. Dan Quinn has some time to turn this season around. Hopefully it happens this week against Pittsburgh. If not, then so be it, you know. You know, if the Falcons finish 6-10, it does not change any my opinion of Dan Quinn. We are long past the days of me being like, what is Dan Quinn doing? I don't understand. You know, that was a 2015 Aaron, not a 2018 Aaron. So if you want to do that, then by all means do so. But, you know, I'm just going to roll my eyes and ignore you. So I still think the season isn't over. Don't panic quite yet. You know, that's me saying this, guys. I think there's still room to grow. We'll watch the All-22. We'll come back tomorrow, talk a little bit more in-depth about this game with the guest, and then, you know, start to turn our attention to the Steelers, and we'll come back later in the week with some more All-22 questions and whatnot. But, you know, still the season is a long season. 1-3 is not – season isn't over quite yet. You know, 1-4 – you know, if they lose to, let's say this, if they lose to the Giants, that's when I'll give up on the season, guys. You know, like, the Giants are terrible, but, you know, hopefully they can beat Tampa Bay. Hopefully they beat the Giants. So that's what I'm hoping right now. 2-1 over these next three games. That's what I'm hoping for. 2-1. I think they can beat the Steelers, for the record. I don't have any respect for the Steelers. Their offense is going to be very tough to stop. But their defense is terrible, guys. It's terrible. So if we can score 36 against the Bengals, I think we can drop 54 against the Steelers defense. That's how I feel about it. But and I know statistically, like, the Bengals have one of the worst defenses in the league. And certainly it didn't get better after today. But watching the film, the talent level on the Bengals defense is, like, light years better than the talent level of the Steelers defense, in my opinion. But so anyway, I'm done talking. If you have questions, comments, suggestions, you can hit me up on Twitter. I'm at FalcFans. If it's podcast related, just hit me up at Locked On Falcons. It's the show's Twitter handle. Email address is LockedOnFalcons@mail.com. Facebook page is Locked On Falcons. Give us a like while you're there. And you can also leave a comment at FalcFans.com, where the podcast is posted daily. So until then, guys, we'll be talking later about this Falcons game.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.